this thing. Don't title again.
And I did not leave the little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Bueno, Longo estuvo en el equipo, pero también tenía que aguantar.
Sí, tenía que aguantar su momento.
So guess what this is all about.
La clausura.
You're right.
De los juegos. Y el programa especial.
I didn't think I'd be able to see this. One nothing Canada, 4 minutes to go on the second period. Just a bonus to this trip.
Crosby adentro.
Una vez te perdona, dos te mata. Saluden al capitán, al hombre más importante que tiene la NHL. Este puede ser el del oro, como hace 4 años. Él le dio la medalla dorada a Canadá. ¡Qué clase de enganche! Va de un lado hacia el otro y al final resuelve. Del lado izquierdo a mano derecha, se quita Lundqvist en una pequeña rendija. Mete el puck. Saludos, Sidney Crosby.
Oh, what perfect timing. Isn't that a sign? I mean, I just start recording and Crosby gets a goal. 2-0. Oh, heavenly, heavenly, heavenly. So, anyway, welcome to San Jose, or the outskirts of. We're moving on today to actually a national museum and, national park. And I don't know what else we got planned. A little bit of the history and the country, the history of the national parks and lots more. It's a little bit overcast, but oh yeah, you can see clouds in the mountains around us. We're outside of the capital, staying at a beautiful hotel. Oh, very nice, nicer than I usually stay in. And just thought I'd give you a start. There may be, this podcast may be mostly recorded in my room. That's just the way it's going to play out, I think. Because I'm going to be with the group most of the time. But man, great flight here. Flew into El Salvador, landed at San Salvador, got a connecting flight, and then the bus picked us up with our in-country tour guide. And took us right here to the hotel, and it's beautiful. And, of course, big room to myself, sofa, table, everything else, and Wi-Fi, and the Olympics on Costa Rican version of Fox. So that's all I'm going to leave you with. I got to go for breakfast. I got to get dressed up, but so far, wow, shaping up to be an excellent trip, and that's what I'm going to share with you today. So talk to you a little later. I gotta go shave, get myself presentable, trying to act the responsible adult on this tour, which I am, of course. Comes easy. And stay tuned. It's probably gonna be a lot of little interrupted clips like this, but what the hell. That's the way it goes. Bye for now.
...1875, patentaron, le pusieron el sello, la hoja de maple, la sellaron sobre un POC y finalmente lo están desarrollando más de un siglo después para colgarse la medalla de oro. Canadá 3-0 sobre Suecia.
No cabe duda que es el equipo más grande de hockey a nivel selecciones. En 1994, cuando jugaron por el oro Suecia y Canadá, no se permitían los jugadores profesionales de la NHL.
Spanish for 3-0 Canada, gold medal winners.
Muchos de ellos emigraron a Canadá.
Sochi 2014.
Y hoy Canadá es bicampeón. Hacen lo que no pudieron en 62 años, ganar un oro fuera de su territorio. Los suecos están sorprendidos. 60 minutos en los que fueron borrados por completo del ring, Carey Price ya tiene que presumirle a sus hijos, a sus nietos y a generaciones.
Una blanqueada.
En unos Juegos Olímpicos, en una final.
En una disputa por medalla de oro. Y este hombre, tú decías que el capitán de Canadá para ser el MVP.
¿Sabes qué? También, híjole, está complicadísimo. Shea Weber y Duncan Keith atrás borraron por completo a Alfredson Steve.
Oye, este es John Tavares, el que mencionabas, Emilio, que se perdió la posibilidad de la final. Sidney Crosby, ese golazo que hizo, queda también para la memoria de todos los aficionados.
What a bonus.
El primero
catch the end of the game. Beautiful.
Llegó para hacer.
We're celebrating nationwide, I'm sure.
Terminara con los suecos. El 2-0.
But meanwhile, I got mountains to climb.
A los suecos todo un caballero, este hombre que ya es leyenda y ha hecho.
De toda la gente.
Sé que piensas marcharte ya, lo sé, y no te detendré. Haz lo que tú quieras. Sin embargo, recuerda que yo estaré aquí en el mismo lugar. Tienes ganas de hablar, con gusto escucharé. Y si él supo darte más amor, supo llenarte más que yo. Claro que sé perder, claro que sé perder.
Second night in Costa Rica. This will sound a little strange. I shut myself into a bathroom so that I'm not overheard by any of the students or anybody else. Kind of want to keep this private. The podcast, that is. I've been posting pictures on Facebook. So if you know me, and on Twitter, you can check those out. Today was our second full day, and what a wonderful, amazing day it was. I was thinking about not podcasting at all, because I don't want it to distract me from the reason I'm here. And it's not just, you know, a holiday in Costa Rica, which it is, but there's a lot more to it than that. I'm thrilled to be here. Today was just an amazing day. Like, we visited two national parks. One was the very first one, opened in 1955, the top of a volcano. And it's just this huge, huge crater. And you're looking at it and you're realizing, wow, that's how this land was formed. It was gorgeous. And in the sun, you know, you're driving up through clouds. Like, this is high up. I'm sorry I can't give you stats and figures and even remember the name right now, but it's available. It was just a wonderful thing to see, and the sky was blue and the air was fresh, and you're walking through this leftover silt and ash from the volcano. And then we drove back down and then up another series of mountains to have an amazing lunch at some place set up right up high. Great baked fried piece of fish, a full fish, a whole fish. I won't get into the details of all the food, just to say that all this has been prearranged by a wonderful, wonderful tour guide who loves her country with a passion. And it seems that part of the reason for us being here is to spread the word. And maybe there's something we can do to help. The rest of the day was spent with the park ranger for his park, Tapanti, I believe. And we did a few hikes and then had a slideshow. What moved everybody was he brought in a young lad from high school to speak in English to us, to do a presentation on the birds in this area. And the kid did a wonderful PowerPoint show and spoke to us in English about the various birds. And then after that, we had another series of images of, you know, the jaguar and some of the other wildlife that is here. They're pretty rare. But they had, with help from an American university, they had cameras set up in the trees with motion sensors and would take pictures at night of the wildlife prowling through. But again, his plea was, you know, we've only got 10 people here to control this huge, huge parkland. And we've got hunters we have to deal with, people who come in and actually hunt these wild animals, and just not enough staff to do all that they want to do. So it is about ways, I guess, maybe people can help support this country. My thoughts right away, we give so much money to countries that are at war and struggling, and here's a country at peace, trying their best to do something right, preserve nature and educate people about the land and the animals. And, you know, a little money would go a long way to helping people here, but I don't know that that's all what it's about. It's certainly a learning experience, and that's why, again, I'm reluctant to do my usual Dixon Jane's crazy podcast, because this is, it's serious, it's real. I tell you, it was just one of those days when I was just touched at every moment by hearing this, by the people who served us this amazing meal, by the interaction with the students, with the park ranger, with our driver. We have our own coach that seats about, 16 or so, and we've got a smaller number than that, so plenty of room, but our own driver, our own tour guide. It's interesting also because this is what I provide for my students from Japan when they come every summer. And it's very interesting observing this whole process, what we're doing and sort of what it feels like to be on that tour. And I keep flipping back and forth between what I'm doing and the guide that we have and the drivers we get and how we arrange to create a good experience for our students. And I've been able to share that with the tour guide here. It's been very interesting talking. So an awful lot of this tour and program and my being here is just about the interactions with people. Tonight we had our first what we call a reflection circle. And I think you'd be proud of me because I just got the idea. We were given little stones, you know, the old traditional talking stone. When you want to speak, you hold this stone and everybody listens and then you pass it to the next person who wants to talk. And I said, let's go digital. Let's change this. And instead we'll bring out this piece of technology I'm holding in my hand. And the one I'm holding in my hand right now, the Olympus LS10. And let's record our question. So I posed the first question, why is the college sending us here? Like, why are we here? What? I was aiming at what's to gain from the college. Why are they doing this? Why are we here? A lot of the students interpret it as a, why am I here? Why did I get chosen? And which was a fair and valid answer. But the wonderful thing was they passed the digital recorder from one to the next. And so we recorded all that and decided we're going to do a couple more this way. And then another question, from the course lead or the project lead, what do you really hope to get out of this? What do you hope to do with this afterwards? Which provoked, you know, more thoughtful replies. And that is all part of the learning experience, and that is clearly why I'm here, why we're here. And it is to learn, to share, to meet new people. The students' answers were just wonderful. I know probably some of you would want to listen to them, but I don't know that I feel comfortable sharing that information. Certainly will with the college. I said this is nobody else is doing anything like this audioly. They're posting, they're asked to blog. Put up pictures and comments, and maybe do some kind of an assignment or report when they get back. But I think if we can continue to collect, you know, assign questions and have the students think about their answers and respond to them, I think this will be of some value. So I'm very glad we're doing that and that I did take the initiative to take this on. I'm feeling so very blessed to have this opportunity. Like I mean, I spent close to 2 hours by myself in a hot springs. We are in a resort. It was a private home, and it's been opened up for special guests. And we are, thanks to our guide, we are welcome here. And it's amazing. It's the kind of thing you would think anybody with multi-millions of dollars might be able to get for themselves, but probably not. Like, it's set right up in the mountains, and I sat there in the lower pool, just my head above the water, and just looking out at the evening sky as it grew dark and the lights of the distant towns came alive, you know, and the lights going up the mountains. It just... absolutely beautiful experience, and feel completely relaxed, calm, cleansed. You know, this is going to be one of those trips where every single day counts. I'm not going to be hauling this recorder out during the day to record bird sounds or stick it in other people's faces. Probably not. I will do more with the students, as I said, but that's separate entirely. But I just thought I'd bring you in for a little bit. I know some people have asked that I do. I think you'll just find it a little bit strange. I'm probably sounding very subdued now. I'm just calm and relaxed and happy, to be in the situation I am in. I honestly, it's just, holy moly, how did this work out so beautifully. If you listen to podcasts in the past, I always seem to be sort of suggesting that I'm not going to have the money for travel, but underneath all that is sort of a desire to travel, and then suddenly this is just handed to me. It just seems too good to be true, but it is very real, and so I'm obliged naturally to give back what I can to make it a valuable learning experience for all the students, and to interact in very positive ways with all the Costa Rican people I meet, and enjoy each day as it unfolds. So I think I'll leave it there. Not sure what I'll do with the rest of the evening, but I'm going to have a good sleep. There is a plan to be up before sunrise and to watch the sun rising from the hot springs, and that sounds like a pretty good idea. May do that. So that's all I've got to share with for now. Just to cap it off, this is a study trip, and that's what my focus will be for the rest of the time. Thank you.
Robado, cuídame, quédame, bésame, mímame, sí.
checking in. Here we are. Day 3. A new hotel now. We're in an area called Paraiso. First night was spent just outside San Jose. Of course, we arrived late in the evening. Then we spent the next 24 hours in Orosi at this fabulous estate. I bought coffee that was grown on the estate, the food. It was amazing. It was the kind of place, I could certainly take my wife and she would be very happy with the accommodations. And that's not to say that she's fussy. It's just, it would be a very special, special place. A luxury. It's a place you'd go for a real treat. I can't say the same about where we are now, but that's, it's just fine. I just had to learn how to open the door. It was, I guess, burglar-proofed in such a way that it was quite tricky to work that key in the lock and get in. Anyway, I am in. Now I'm on the second floor where the three of the students are. I'm in a room by myself downstairs, the main floor. This is the third house of this relatively new hotel arrangement. Family that sort of, the grandmother lived here, the family bought property next door, built an extra couple of houses, and they're putting up our entire group. We're sitting on a wonderful deck overlooking the valley. In fact, I'm looking right now, I'm up on the deck from the house that we're in, and I'm looking at the lights of the valley of the town where we were last night, Orosi. It's just quite stunning. We're up again, looking down into this valley, and then up again the next set of hills. It's every part of this experience so far has been absolutely wonderful. I can't see that any stronger. Sometimes you hear a lot of superlatives and worse on this podcast. But I just want to say, despite the noise of trucks going by in the background, this experience has been so richly rewarding already. It really is having an effect on all of us. We had our second circle tonight, reflection circle, and it was quite wonderful. We got into some good conversations. I posed the question, last night's question was, why are we here? And I didn't mean on planet Earth, but I meant, had the college send us tonight, if you could be prime minister for a day, what would you change about Canada? And we heard some interesting answers. But prior to that, it was just after supper, I was at a table with two of the students from India, another one from Guatemala. And we got into one of those, very deep conversations about life, politics, of the kind I love, and with a depth to it and an honesty to it. I was heartened by the fact that these younger people see the injustice in the world and want to do something to change it. And it's encouraging. And I opened up. Yesterday I was in more of a traditional teacher role. Today I was more of just a guy role. And I confessed to my sins and being a pot smoker for 45 years. I didn't make that forefront of the conversation. It came up about one of the things. One of the fellows is from Guatemala. Who's with us on this program, and he had a lot to say about that, and a pretty strong, universal, I'll say it, anti-American rant. And again, it's not the American people, but the powers behind the corporations which control the government, which, try and control a lot of other governments. And it was understandable where these people were coming from. I guess I'm not doing a very good job of reflecting what's going on. I spent another hour today when we were back at that other estate, an hour, maybe 2 hours this morning alone in the hot springs, just thinking about things. I had the pleasure of talking again. I've mentioned our guide. Well, she's not just a guide. She's an environmentalist. She's an environmental lawyer. Very bright, very well-trained woman who could easily run for politics in this country and win, I'm sure, but has decided not to. She's spending part of her time in Canada. She married a Canadian. But it's wonderful just to be able to sit over coffee, grown locally, and have a real open conversation about anything and everything about this country. It's certainly, let me just summarize by saying this has been an incredibly valuable educational experience for me, and I need that. I want that. I'm only sorry, the one thing that sticks in the back of my mind is my age and the fact that, hey, I don't have a future lying ahead of me, all the things I could do, but I'm very, very much thinking along the lines of what is there still time to do, and what should I be doing with my life? I fear I've spent an awful lot of time over these past 10 years of podcasting talking about me and analyzing me and what makes me tick. And it's really time to move beyond that into what am I going to do for the world. And I know sometimes I say, well, guess what? I've already done a lot. Clearly not enough. But the things I am doing with my own study tour for the Japanese, I feel good about it. It's valuable. It's worthwhile. I've been doing that for 20 years. The girls do leave with something. And now I've been thinking about that because I know one day that will come to an end too. And this trip, with such a strong educational focus to make people think and to question, is making me think, okay, now what more can I do to make that an even better learning experience for my Japanese students? Because that's what this thing is all about. So, in a way, this program and this the value of this experience is how can I transfer what I'm learning and what I'm observing onto other things that I do in the classroom too, and certainly with the Kamijo, the Study in Canada program. And that's all good. Highlight of today for most of us, for all of us really, was visiting an elementary school. It is strictly an environmental school. It's tied into people who work at the national park here at Tepanti. I told you, maybe not, that we spent most of yesterday with the ranger from that park and learning a lot about it and what they're trying to do and how they're getting by on such a small budget. And today we visited a school where the principal, a woman, had been there 17 years shaping this, the students and her staff, into making the students aware of recycle, you know, reuse. And every kid from grade 1 to grade 8 has to be involved in a project. There's 8 big projects, and it comes down to tending plants, to doing a garden, to recycling paper. They showed us the desks they have. The desks and the chairs are made from recycled Tetra Paks, the little cardboard containers that they collect and send off and sell, and they go to a factory. And the students, each grade level, gave us a presentation. So the students are lined up in their uniforms, speaking in Spanish, and our program or project lead translated for us how this works, how they convert the Tetra Paks into a hard, durable material that is then fashioned by prisoners in the country to make desks and chairs for primary school. Now, that was just amazing. And they led us through the school, and every class level gave us a different presentation. And there was a wonderful one on the butterflies. And the kids, of course, they were learning how the butterflies go from the whole metamorphosis, the entire project, and they had tangible things to sort of show this, and the kids acted it out, and they're using recycled bottles and plastic containers to make toys, to make games, and they involve the parents in it, and this some of this work goes home to the parents, and the parents get involved, and then the kids go into the community and start recycling and teaching about recycling and waste. And the goal is they can earn a certain star by meeting very, very tough criteria set out by the Ministry of Education on lessening their carbon footprint. And they have to keep a record of all the gas they use for the propane for cooking, all the electricity they use. And every kid is made aware of how they can find other ways to recycle materials, repurpose materials, reduce waste. There's no garbage in the school. All the kids are assigned. Okay, hey, if there's waste, you pick it up. You're cleaning it. It was a model that I'm just ashamed that how I can't even imagine this happening in Canada I'm going to come out and say it with unions, with and it's not just the unions. I mean, the teachers and the pushback there would be. And of course, nobody's ever allowed to stay 17 years at one school. Nobody would want that in Canada. It's a matter of getting ahead and getting promoted and getting to a better school. But the dedication this woman had, with the support of young people who will be meeting tomorrow, who are environmentalists, it's just stunning. I mean, all of us came out of there. I mean, almost moved to tears by how good these kids were and how well-trained. And they weren't robots. They were real kids. But, man, they were going to give us a presentation. They were going to tell us what they had learned. It was an amazing experience. Again, I've posted some of this on Facebook, and I encourage you, if you know me, to have a look. Sounds like people have come back from their walk. Maybe. I've just got a little bit of time alone. Everybody was going for a walk after we had our reflection circle. Some people needed to walk off the rice and beans and food we've been eating. So, that's it. I'm hearing a lot of good nights, so I'm probably going to wind this down. But I just wanted to keep you posted. I can honestly say that this is one of the best things that's happened to me in a very long time. And it really is having an impact and making me think. You cannot help but think about, okay, what are you going to do? What's your part to make this a better world? That's the goal for the students, but those of us as staff are impacted in the very same way. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. It's an important thing. So I'll leave it there. Continue tomorrow. I believe we're visiting a university. We're going to be in this hotel, in this area, for the next 3 days. What else are we doing? I think we're visiting the university tomorrow, reviewing research projects, visiting an Indigenous local program, another Indigenous community, traveling to Carrito somewhere. Anyway, stay tuned, you'll get more, and I probably won't put any of these podcasts out until I get home and start assembling these clips in order. It's been good. It's been really, really good. The view is stunning right now, looking at night, looking out at the lights in the distance up here in the mountains. Bye for now. Checking in. I'm outside a market. We have been at the university all morning, an excellent engineering university, and they do an awful lot. They have a program where you get a bachelor's in
ecotourism is the focus, and we had a very good presentation, most in Spanish, but we got translations later, of sustainable development and trying to bring tourism to the smaller parts of Costa Rica that have not been developed, but so that the local indigenous people will benefit. In other words, you know, not knocking it down and building up a huge Western corporation resort with golf courses and diverting the water supply from the towns and villages that need it so they can water the greens for the visiting American golfers. Very, very powerful, very, very much on the right side of things, which is the left side of things. And it's a great group of young people. So it was quite beautiful that at the end, several of these students at this university took our seven students around. And they just made friends very, very quickly. It was wonderful to see. I stayed behind, and me, because it was mostly in Spanish. Our guide, of course, and the head of the program are Spanish speakers, talking about articulation agreements with this university and our college that we're representing, which is important stuff. It's the real thing, and it's one of the reasons why we're here, is how can we continue to further these educational exchanges and help each other and help our students. And wouldn't it be great if students could do semesters at each other's universities, colleges? So I have nothing but great things to say about this entire program, how it's laid out, the reasons behind it, the goals, and then the experience. I think I mentioned I stayed up talking with some of the students, and it continues today. Very, very interesting. This is a very mature group of students with a lot of world experience, mostly international students. It's great just sitting talking with them over lunch. We eat in the market. And it continues. This is only, what, day three, day four, I guess. And we've got a lot more to experience, a lot more to learn. We're going back to the university this afternoon. Maybe have our long-awaited Spanish lesson. We'll be visiting some indigenous people tomorrow. So I guess that's it. I'm not going to be doing much in terms of talking about the fauna and the birds and everything else, because we're seeing that for ourselves. But like I said, it's not for me to haul out this recorder. I'm only doing it now because I'm alone. Students are strolling through the market. We're going to have a bonfire tonight, apparently. Sit around in our reflection circle and talk. I think I'll turn it over to the students this time. But suffice to say, I'm still here scratching my head thinking, wow, how did I end up here so lucky? The one thought I have that keeps coming back to me is I used to always talk, even in earlier podcasts, about being 5 years behind myself, that wherever I am now, I should have been here 5 years ago. And I don't mean that in terms of wealth there's nothing looking back that I want to remove, although maybe I could tighten up some of the time that was wasted out in Vancouver. I don't know. But the fact that now, at the age of 65, I'm really getting interested. Gee, what's ahead? What's my future? What other things could I do career-wise? How can I make even better use of my time? And that's... it's an odd thing, you know, because there isn't that much time. So maybe that's a lesson to any of you out there who are younger.
That's the Kansas.
You might consider, well, doing what you're doing, because most of you are already in your careers and moving ahead. And I was just very, very slow to find what I wanted to do, and then even slower to get there. So. That's okay. I'm happy where I am. I'm happy to be here. And if I changed any one thing along the way, I wouldn't be here. So that's that. Okay, I think I'll have one more stroll around the market and carry on with the rest of the day. So just checking in from, I can't even tell you the name of the town right now, but we're in the Cartago area. This is not part of the tourist mainstream. There are no tourists here. It's a university town. Unfortunately, I do see a McDonald's down the road, but pretty well everything else is Costa Rican. All right, bye for now. Walking into the market. Just to pick up the different sounds. It's a place where we just ate. Rice and beans and meat. It smells good. Sure, it was here. Okay, well, we'll end there, and I'm sure we'll find each other sooner or later. Bye for now. Sounds of the forest. It's a beautiful bird with a yellow tail called the pendula, and it's in these trees.
He's telling me that one of his dreams is to provide jobs for the community too. Because when people see that tourists are coming to this place, they come the next day and ask him, next time can you bring me and I can do whatever you need? Because I need a job, I need a source of income. And this is his dream, and this is what keeps him moving this and working, and even though it's taking time and a slow process, he really believes in what he's doing. And he hopes to see this as a very important part of the community, this project.
The name of his place again that we have, it's...
¿Cómo se llama el lugar?
Aquí.
Sí.
El proyecto, mm-hmm. Forestería Analoga.
Analogic Forestry.
Analogic Forestry.
Pero no tiene nombre, digamos, Forestería Analoga.
Finca Buenaventura.
Finca Buenaventura, Buenaventura Farm.
Sí, nosotros tenemos página en internet, ahora son las de la...
Aquí
yo
creo que están ahí.
Sí, sí. Esto de aquí, sí. Hormigas.
Ants. You see the ants there?
Mm. Yo pienso que las tuvo para que las vean.
Oh.
Para molestar.
Yeah. Careful. Wow.
See.
Sí. Mm.
Everywhere. As I was telling you, but Kent,
yeah.
There's life everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sí. Yeah. Look at them go. Gracias. Check, 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 checking in. Whew. It's, I guess about 6 o'clock. Just back at our residence, our last night here. This is our third night. I'm sitting in a rocking chair outside on a patio, looking down into the valley at the lights of the village in the distance. It's just such a glorious sight, because we've been... excuse me. That is beer, by the way. This was a no beer, no alcohol trip for anybody, students or staff. Everybody signed a pledge. I noticed at lunchtime today, every student had a bottle of beer. And, of course, I broke the rule yesterday when we went to Costco, Walmart, I guess, and had myself a can of Nicaraguan beer. I've got a local Pilsen. I didn't have one at lunch with the students. Somebody from the university offered it to them, and they all said, yeah. which makes it marks a turning point in this podcast. I think I've almost been a little on edge that, gee, what if this fell into the hands of the college, or what if I did something stupid and say, hey, you can listen to my reflections. And that would really warp the true free-spirited nature of Dixon James, and I don't ever want to do that. I want Dixon James to always be Dixon James. So I'm going to tell it like it is. I'm drinking a fucking beer right now. Thank you very much. It's before supper. We just got back from a very long trip. Another amazing day. Yesterday was spent at the university, the technical college. It's mainly engineering, but they do have a tourism program and a sustainable development program, sustainable tourism. Very small programs, but the researchers have done amazing work with the indigenous people. So today we visited a farm that one man had, and he's bought the land, and he's kind of trying to turn it into an interpretive center. Just a wonderful old guy with the kindest face you've ever seen. It almost brought tears to my eyes just looking into his smile. You know, sometimes you meet some people, especially sometimes amongst simple people of you know, not your urban city types. Just somebody who's just a kind man. I watched him as he sat in a chair and reached over and grabbed this little boy's hand, and just a gentleness that just warmed your heart just looking at him. And he is preserving this land and planting trees. This was all cut down forest. So he's made it into a very natural habitat up in the mountains that mostly belong to the indigenous people. And so we did a trail down to the water. Then they put on a meal for us in this new sort of very nicely made, quite simple outdoor center where you could gather with the idea of bringing some tourists this way instead of all the other
places they go to in Costa Rica. You know, it's the hope for the future. But what's wonderful about it is this has all been spearheaded by the university wanting to help the locals get some of the money that they're not getting. It's not a government incentive. The government's not helping. The banks aren't helping. But this college is giving them the grants and things to get them going. So a wonderful time with him today in the morning. And then after that, we visited another project that the university's done up in the hills with more indigenous women here and others. And one was sort of going to be a kind of a lodge where people could stay eventually. It's not built yet, but it's in the planning process. And all the other women were each had something so that they could earn an income from. So, like, there was an old woman looking... Well, it wasn't that she was so old, but she had a face that, you know, you would have seen a thousand years ago. And just bought her basket of eggs to show that she's got, I forget what, 19 chickens or something, and is selling the eggs locally, and it's helping her. Another woman made a wine out of one of the plants here, and also made a various kinds of... sauces and jams using just the ingredients that are grown up here. Another woman is raising orchids. It just had an idea. And each one of these is projects that the university got them to think about. What do you want to do? And then arrange for them to get the training they needed to do this as a viable business. So the other one, woman had about 40 different orchids that she's learned how to raise on her own. Grown in sort of like roots of trees and things. They're beautiful. Somebody else, you know, also raising chickens. And what's remarkable is these were the leaders of this university saying, this is what we got to be doing. This was a grassroots thing. One of the reasons they all got together was the country government wanted to dam the river that runs through this mountain, through this area that affects all these villages, and wanted to put in a series of six dams to create hydroelectric power that they could sell to Panama or somewhere else. And the villagers just organized like a plebiscite, a vote, and 97% were against it and just have so far been able to stop the government from doing this and instead looking at ways they can make use of the natural resources around them. So this is the real thing. This is the grassroots fundamental movements of people and leaders helping each other. And they singled out one woman in particular who they said was the leader, spearhead of the group. And she was making her own sort of spices and chili peppers and stuff that she had very neatly bagged and had a label on and was, you know, obviously a step ahead. And the others thanked her for being the one that was bringing them along with her. Group photos taken in front of a poster against the river being dammed. And this is the real thing. This is traveling into the hills. You wouldn't believe this. This is a mountain dirt road with washed out bridges and so on. Our bus, which seats probably 30.
Estoy muy triste porque no pude ir al concierto de mi ídolo. Él es más que bueno. Se ve súper, hiper, mega excelente. No hay palabras para describirlo. Gracias, Tati, a toda la gente que está con nosotros. A subir la temperatura aún más porque viene un exitazo. Se llama Si tú no te fueras. Eso es lo que tienes que hacer. No te vayas porque estamos pasando la fenomenal con este especial 95.1 en esta casi noche, ¿verdad? Casi noche y a pocos minutos de que Marc Anthony empiece a sonar fuertemente y a tocarnos a prisa.